Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Grounded. I think this is episode number 17, which I couldn't believe when I was scrolling through the kind of Spotify list. Gunnar, I was like, this is crazy that we've done 17 episodes.
I know. We'll be at 20 before we even know it.
Yeah, amazing. We have a very special guest with us today. Gunnar, do you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah, Krister Niffen from Midwestern BioAg, located in southeastern South Dakota. So, Chris, we've been working with you for a couple of years now, but I'll kind of leave it at that. I'll let you introduce yourself and introduce Midwestern BioAg.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, my name is Chris Niffen. I'm Director of Research for Midwestern BioAg. I lead the company's efforts on applied and field-level research with our products and product validation efforts. From southeastern South Dakota, kind of grew up along the Missouri River, kind of an old river kid at heart. Always had a deep connection to kind of water, land, and kind of the communities that shape those environments. Naturally, with kind of agriculture as the primary land use, kind of found my way towards agriculture and working in the ag space as a way to really impact and improve those kind of river systems. So, always had a deep connection to kind of topics around soil compaction, soil erosion. It's kind of a familial connection that I've had for years. And so my passion in kind of moving over to Midwestern BioAg has been working with their BioCal product and working on remediating some of those issues that we're seeing, you know, in the farm landscapes and knowing their downstream impacts and the connections with Earth Optics, it's just been a really strong fit. So we've been working together here for now coming on about 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and could you tell us a little bit more about who Midwestern BioAg is? What sort of products do you make? How long have you been around as a company? How long have you been there?
Yeah, so Midwestern BioAg's been around for about 40 years. So it was founded by Gary Zimmer, who's the founder of kind of regenerative agriculture. And, he's been in the space and we've really worked in a lot of different spaces, everything from kind of the organic sectors to regenerative farming. But it's always been this fundamental principles around soil health and really BioCal. Explicitly, that was kind of the product that built the company. The product was really designed as kind of creating that foundation to soil health, right? So there's a lot of biological companies out there. There's a lot of biological products out there. And really at the foundation to that is soil structure and soil health. And that's really where, our company was founded 40 years ago was how do we improve that? And it really centers around that nexus of soluble calcium and building soluble calcium levels in the soil as that foundation to everything kind of above and below ground in all the processes that are involved. So I've been with the company here for now 3 years, been kind of in a number of different spaces prior to working with Midwestern BioAg, but I came over to Midwestern BioAg really interested in working with their product just because it is just a foundational tool to building and improving soil health practices. And it's a really, from my perspective, it was a very underutilized tool because it was primarily in the alfalfa markets and forage markets and looking at, kind of improving dairy nutrition. And I just understood the utility of it and knew that there was a lot more opportunities out there than what we were currently capturing.
Well, now you mentioned soil health a few times there. Could you define what soil health means to you? Because it seems to mean something a little bit different to just about everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think soil health to me is really comes down to being able to get, maximum productivity out of that soil in concert with also being able to kind of build soil structure, build soil health, and improve all of the ecosystem services that come around that. And I think a lot of the regenerative space is what's the value of those ecosystem services that are out there and how do you maximize those values and transfer that value to a monetary value at the farm level? And so a lot of, from a soil health perspective, I think about it, it's in that kind of chemical, physical, biological realm, but it's really, in my perspective, it's that, there are so many different chemical processes that can be done properly that help drive the physical structure of the soil, which will then help drive the biological structure of the soil. And so there, it's really working all of those three different parts together. That's really so critical to building that foundation of healthy soil.
Yeah, I heard you say when you're talking about soil health, which I like, I don't know if, I'm sure we've heard that definition, but maximizing the production on the field, like that's a unique lens. And to me, it's a lens that is like very farmer centric, right? It's very grower centric, very producer centric, because that's what every grower and producer wants to do is maximize their production on the field. Could we talk a little bit about that, kind of the big picture? Like, what does it mean to kind of put the farmer at the center of ag tech today?
Yeah, I think it's that value transfer. I think a lot of it is that value transfer. And there's so much information out there that's kind of listed in different silos of, you know, whether it's industry, ag tech, you know, academia, science, everything. And it's about really bridging those communication gaps. And ultimately, you know, it was always kind of brought to my attention, you know, early on in my career, you know, and the old saying, if it isn't green, it doesn't go. And so it has to make money. It has to have value. It has to have value throughout the, you know, throughout the supply chain. And so, and I think that's one of the challenges with soil health, is because that value isn't necessarily always, you know, kind of initially, you know, it's hard to monetize very early on, because those ecosystem values might show up year two, might show up year three. And so it's really about being able to communicate that value and being able to show people, you know, and show farmers, you know, where you're making an impact as you're doing these different practice changes and things of that sort, and being able to stay and keep them communicating that there is a value. And sometimes that value transfers, you know, year two, year three, not necessarily always year one. So when I think about really that, you know, back to your question on kind of putting farmers at the center of ag tech, it's really, to me, it's about that value transfer and being able to communicate those solutions, and being able to provide farmers with, you know, there's a lot of data out there. There's a lot of ag tech out there. It gets really noisy really quick. And then, you know, it's kind of like too much too fast. And so they back off and they don't do anything. And that's the wrong approach, right? And so I think from an industry perspective, we need to be the ones that are out there that are showing how to use these different tools, how to use this, you know, use these different practices and technologies to show near-term and also long-term value of product innovation, so that they can, they can manage their risk. And it all comes down to risk management in the end of the day for the farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if those products or solutions can also can bring, you know, the operational and business sense to the growers themselves, but also not do that, you know, at the expense of, you know, our waterways, for instance, like you mentioned right at the beginning of this, you know, you grew up in a river town. I grew up in central Minnesota. I've spent, you know, the last 10 years in southern Minnesota surrounded by rivers. And that's, you know, the utmost importance for me. So it's really great when you can also have those co-benefits that coincide with it. And that really, you know, involves kind of having that comprehensive 360 degree view of how is my soil performing? You know, what other kind of interconnected pieces do I need to consider? Diving in a little bit more into, you know, what actual problems is Midwestern BioAg trying to solve, whether with BioCal or with any of your other products? You know, I know we've been working on some compaction trials. Is there anything else that you guys are doing, or should we kind of focus on the compaction for the time being?
You know, I mean, we're really across the entire space. And so I kind of think about, you know, when I frame up regenerative agriculture, I kind of put it on like a spectrum, right? And like a CEC spectrum. And you've got these heavy clays all the way to sand, and really it's carbon, right? So you've got low carbon soils all the way to, you know, soils that have high clays, maybe low carbon, maybe even high carbon in some high organic matter soils. So what we're trying to do at Midwestern BioAg is really provide solutions that fit all along those, all along that kind of that gradient, that really are going to help, again, drive that kind of, whether it's that base foundation of building soil health. And in some cases, it's, you know, it's a product like, you know, our BioCal, or to address soil compaction, manage surface, you know, compaction, subsoil compaction. In other cases, it's about carbon. And so we've got things like our TerraNew product line, which is focused on dry, you know, dry carbon and bringing in high as much carbon into our dry fertilizer inputs as possible as a form of soil organic matter to help buffer and reduce some of the fertilizer tie-ups that exist out in the soil in that fertilizer space. And bringing in that carbon piece can be really, you're essentially taking that value of regenerative agriculture, of building soil organic matter, but taking that and then putting that onto a fertilizer granular. And so it's bridging this gap that, we have in the industry where, I want to do soil health practices, but I don't have time, labor, resources to do that. So we're kind of flipping that and saying, all right, well, as an industry or as a product developer, let's develop products that overcome that or bring that same value, but bring it in a very easy to use manner that has a low cost of entry for the farmer. So I can get this value of maybe, cover cropping and long-term regenerative practice. I can bring that value in without having to change my entire system year one, because that's a monumental task for a farmer to ask and to, change their entire farming practices. And again, it's risk management. And so how do I, manage the risk in a very low, in a very easy manner that is affordable and isn't going to break the bank and lose the farm on. And that's really what we're kind of doing in our product development pipeline. So we have our Terra News, and then we've got a BioGel product, which is again, a kind of a soil stabilizer, water management tool, which is super exciting, but that's really more addressing kind of the similar carbon spaces as what we do with dry fertilizer, but with liquid fertilizers. So again, it's kind of bringing in these different solutions that in innovations within these different product segments and categories to have that, high level near-term value transfer to achieve our long-term goals.
Cool. Are these, I find it kind of interesting that we haven't really talked about like NPK at all, but we've been talking about, all sorts of different inputs inside. I think that's pretty cool. Something that we think about all the time being a soil sampling company is just like testing for soil and being able to then prescribe, the right product for the right issue. And that's part of, what we're doing these compaction tests for. Can you speak to a little bit, the importance of identifying issues and then actually putting the right product on it? Because I imagine all of your products have specific use cases and they're not just kind of, blanket approach. It's going to work all the time. So can you kind of speak towards the importance of identifying these issues and then choosing the right product from your catalog?
Yeah. So, I think I'll talk a little bit about our BioCal product just because that's the one that we've really have worked very closely with Earth Optics on. And it's been very helpful. So a little background with the BioCal product, like I mentioned earlier, it initially began, the company was based in Wisconsin, right? We're based on dairy farms. So it was about, the product was initially developed to improve forage quality. And so we were really segmented into a small market. And through COVID and some of the other kind of changes in the dairy landscape, a lot of the small farmers got, kind of gobbled up by some of the bigger companies. And, the dairy landscape kind of changed in Wisconsin. So when I came back on board with Midwestern BioAg here three years ago, it was really about how do we, and I understood this product that we had, but I saw this segmented market that we were in, and I knew that there was so many more utilities outside of that, one particular being compaction and being able to manage soil erosion. So myself and Gaji Balakhanishyan, our CEO, we started having conversations about how we can kind of take that value and understand that value of BioCal, but transfer it outside and grow this market with this product. So we started running trials. And, I was very data driven, understanding that, we don't want to just go out there and put the product out there, because when you start managing and start looking for the value of products like soil amendments, it doesn't necessarily always show up first year, because you have all of these other external factors, whether it's, seed variety changes, your baseline NPK nutrients, farm management practices, all of these different kind of variables get thrown into it. So we had to be really kind of controlled in how we were going to do our research. But it also left us a gap of how are we going to measure compaction as well, because compaction, you know, isn't, you know, the standard penetrometer has subjectivity, right? You stand on it, you put your pressure, you got your weight on it, you've got volumetric moisture content changes. So I want to measure it in spring or do I measure it in fall? There's lots of different variables that go into that basic handheld tool. It's a great scouting tool, fantastic scouting tool. But when it came from a data perspective, I wanted robust data that I would be able to show cause and effect with this product. So we started and we partnered with a number of different on-farm partners within our retail business. We had five retail locations at the time, and we were kind of working with those customers and setting up on-farm trials. And so we would do split field trials. And our first year with it, we were really just looking at, you know, the standard yield, right? Again, the challenge with yield is that yield isn't always tied to maybe the product performance, because there's a number of different factors. So I really wanted to dial into the efficiency factor and how we're impacting and how did this product and other products within our portfolio are impacting, you know, whether it's soil use efficiency or nutrient use efficiency of fertilizers, water use efficiencies. I really wanted to dial in on that efficiency topic as a component to building ROI. Because when we talk about ROI, it's really, you know, a lot of the conversation in the industry is really just around the, you know, bushels removed. But in my opinion, it was a little bit more tied to the efficiency of the fertilizer itself. What's the ROI of the product that you're going to apply? So we started our on-farm trials and began with just simple application split field rates. And we got connected through, gosh, he found connections through, found you guys, and he brought Earth Optics to kind of my desk and said, hey, this is something that I think you guys, this might be a good fit. You want to take a look at it? I said, yeah, absolutely. I loved what you guys were doing with automating, you know, soil compaction, being able to measure volumetric moisture content. I was like, this is a great fit. Let's do it. So we started having you guys do scans on our fields. And I think the first time we did it, we learned some things with it, you know, right? We learned that, you know, from a trial perspective, you know, the scans are great baseline and gave us great baseline data, but we had to go in and we had to put in those DCP points. We had to put in those mm-hmm. ground truthing points so that at the end of the day, at the raw data, we could effectively look at cause and effect. And what we've done with that has been extremely impactful for understanding our product performance, whether it was from compaction or whether it was from nutrient responses that we're getting from the product. It's been instrumental as to the growth of our product. We're having our best years that we've ever had in 40 years on our BioCal product, really because of the partnership with Earth Optics and being able to have that data validation. You know, and some of the things that we're seeing with our multi-year plots are, you know, we're seeing some compaction levels that are improved at that, you know, subs, you know, 6 to 9 inches, 9 to 12 inches, we're seeing soil compaction improvements from, you know, year three of annual applications upwards. You know, we're seeing them about 44 PSI changes. I mean, it's deflating a car tire. And that's a big deal. Cause I mean, everybody around the space around compaction talks about tire pressure. So I kind of think about it in that context, but it's really significant when you think about road exploration and what that can do. And just deflating that car tire. Well, now you have more space for roots to grow. You got more space for water to get to that plant. You have more space for productivity to come out of that soil system. So that was our really year three of our multi-year trials. And that trial site has expanded our work with our BioCal products. And now we're on, you know, more acres of that product. So it's enabling the growth of that product. And it's also enabling more growth and more partnership with Earth Optics, because we're scanning more fields. We're out there doing year one trials. We're looking at different soil types. We're understanding that soil types have a significant impact on the performance of our products. So we're starting to look at leveraging Earth Optics through, you know, to other dealers and building a really strong partnership. And it's really, you know, it's taking that kind of that first step, that first data step that we had, that first trial, and now we're expanded. We've got stuff going in Western Iowa, seeing surface compaction reductions up to 65% on really unique soil types, different production systems, and really giving us a really strong platform of that, you know, combination of product performance, product, you know, learnings on farm, data validation, and ultimately comes down to low risk for the farmer, right? So then a farmer could go out, pick up a product, have a trial innovation, and understand this worked here, this didn't work here, and how that impacts its management decisions. And that's always one of the questions I wanted to answer was, you know, and I always was extremely frustrated with that because, you know, there's nothing worse than a farmer say, yeah, product worked here, it didn't work here. it doesn't serve anybody. So
yeah. For our listeners, I'm going to jump back just a little bit, but if you're not aware, this is your first time tuning into Earth Optics. We have developed an ADCP, which is an automated digital cone penetrometer. And so those kind of challenges that Christopher was talking about, where you're, you know, trying to push it into the ground and that pressure component is coming into it, ours are mounted on the back of a truck or side by side and, you know, kind of drop down to the ground and take an objective reading of the soil. So that's a big differentiator for Earth Optics. And then the other thing I love that you said, Chris, was like, that's like deflating a car tire. Cause we talk about PSI so often and it's tough, I think, to relate that to, you know, to make it less abstract. And so I'm definitely stealing that kind of analogy. Cause that is a big deal. I have inflated many bike and car tires in my life. And, that's a serious reduction in pressure, that 44 PSI.
This is really some of the first I've heard of the actual results too. So I'm glad to hear that they're going pretty well, selfishly, because I pulled some of that data myself. And so yeah. I have, you know, my own kind of investment in that project. You know, there's, I feel like a billion different kind of rabbit holes we could go down right now, but you mentioned a little bit early on there, ROI, and which is something that Piper and I and the rest of the team at Earth Optics are always thinking about. Yield per acre is of course extremely important, but if you're still losing, you know, a few bucks per acre, or a few bushels per acre in terms of, you know, lost money, it still doesn't make business sense. And so we oftentimes, you know, instead think about profit per acre and you know, try and keep that kind of business lens on it. Can you kind of frame that up for us? Like how do you think about ROI, especially from, you know, just the product standpoint and agronomic standpoint?
Yeah. And I kind of go back to what I kind of commented earlier was on that, you know, traditionally ROI is, you know, is now in the agricultural landscape is just bushels removed, right? So what's your bushels for your dollar supplied? And I really don't like that, in my opinion, because there's a lot of variability, especially when it even comes into the yield data itself. You know, when you look at yield data, there's all sorts of, you know, how fast was your tractor going? Did you do a multi-point calibration? Was your GPS connected? Are you on the same variety? Are you in the same as applied? There's so many different pieces that go into that you're really trusting that agricultural company or somebody is telling you that, yes, this ROI is coming from, you know, really backed science. And, you know, university data is expensive to do. Doing a whole, you know, economic study is really difficult. We tried to do that. Right. Like that was one of our first things that we did first year in. We said, all right, let's do, you know, we were pressured by our leadership team to say, you know, we need ROI on this product. And so, okay, well, let's go out and do that. What we quickly learned is that unfortunately farmers are not accountants and they don't even understand the ROI on their farm. So to ask them, you know, and to try to get, you know, what are you applying? What's your application? You know, everything you're applying on your farm, everything that you've done doing this farm accounting is really, is a gap. And it's, they don't have time, they don't have money, and they don't want to be sitting doing books. They're farming to farm. They're not farming to push paper. And so it's a massive kind of, it's a big gap. And so the ROI space for me, I wanted to say, well, understanding that maybe yield isn't the primary metric to measure ROI, let's look at efficiency. Let's look at nutrient use efficiency. Mm. So how are our products performing? What are things that I can do to kind of take that farmer out of it, but still deliver ROI? And I began to look at some of these topics like, you know, fertilizer efficiency. So we went out and we did mid-season soil testing and mid-season plant tissue testing, which is a massive amount of work. And it was to go out there. I mean, there's to go out there in mid season, you know, V10 corn and hand pull soil samples across a field of at each soil type. So not just going out there in one point in the field, you're going out, you're walking the entire field, pulling these soil samples. I mean, God bless our interns. I mean, they were, and myself too, it's been an exhausting couple summers. So being able to work with folks like Earth Optics that can provide a faster, you know, throughput and be able to do this in a more manageable way has been, you know, just a huge relief for myself, but it's able to get us to that point of the ROI of the product is really about how that product performs and how that product performs in that particular soil environment. And so whether it's a BioCal product, whether it's a TerraNew BioGel, whatever our product is, what we're looking at is really how that is impacting in terms of nutrient availability in the soil. And so we'll pull soil samples and we'll look at them from a, you know, whether it's a standard soil test and acid, you know, extraction, we'll do things like a water soluble or saturated paste extraction, depending on the product that we're looking at. So we're leveraging all of these different tools that are out there in the agricultural landscape, but trying to find utility for them to help us explain through data the impact that these products can have in terms of ROI. So our ROIs are really tied to an efficiency component of how well did this product impact the efficiency of nitrogen? Are we seeing an uplift of nitrogen? Are we seeing increased or are we seeing a reduction in nitrogen? What's the impact there? You know, the BioCal product, like I talked about, is really unique because the BioCal product in a lot of soils impacts potassium. So we're applying a product, but we're seeing a potassium response. So the ROI is really tied to the potassium component of the product. And that's that near term, you know, piece that we can help, you know, and that starts shifting to a farm's, you know, your agronomic or going into NPK reduction strategies and being able to start look at your fertilizers applied and being more efficient. And then that gets into your true kind of ROI from a booking perspective, because now you're looking at dollars in, dollars out. My input costs go down, my output either stays the same or goes up. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing as you know, start to take that real systems level approach, how, you know, interconnected everything is, where, you know, the application of this one product can have, you know, these cascading effects across, you know, all these other parameters that you need to be keeping an eye on, which is why we stress the importance of, you know, testing everything that you can, whether it's your soil biology, whether it's your compaction, whether it's your fertility. You know, if you're not testing for it, it's hard to actually understand how your soil is performing and what changes you can make on your operation. You know, we talked a little bit about the actual trial data. One thing I always love to hear about is like actual testimonials from folks. And I want to give a quick plug to Tim and Tyler Nuss from The Modern Acre. They've set up their AgList platform, which I know Midwestern BioAg has their products on there. And really that's a really, really neat platform that kind of compiles, you know, this anecdotal testimonial data from folks as well as, you know, actual soil data. But in that kind of vein, you know, what are you hearing from growers? What are you kind of hearing as far as like boots on the ground, as far as BioCal or any of your other products?
Yeah. I mean, really, you know, all of our products have their fit, and it's about really finding that, finding those different markets. And so our BioCal product has been, you know, that's a 40-year-old product. It's kind of our, it's our base product that we build everything off of. So we've been just seeing some phenomenal things. Like I can speak to this group that we're working in Western Iowa here. This was a first time case. So we hadn't had a whole lot of kind of market entry into Western Iowa, where we manufacture our product out of Davenport of Eastern Iowa. And we've been really kind of working primarily up into Wisconsin and in some of kind of the dairy space. And there's a huge opportunity for us on manure use efficiency and improving manure use efficiency and managing, you know, kind of the salt levels that come in from manure. And so we started working out of Western Iowa Western Iowa with a group out there. And the first year with the product, you know, we just ran from a contract research perspective. And we put out, you know, our product 500 pounds per acre, and we started going out in the spring, started digging soils. And it was actually not even myself. It was them, their kind of agronomy team was going out there, and one of their technicians out there forgot his spade. And so he was just, you know, these were, you know, V3, V4 corn plants. And so it's like, well, you know, I'm in the field, I got to do something. So they was taking whole plant samples. So he just started pulling plants, and he would, you know, these are split fields. And he came back at the end of the day, and this was, you know, kind of a story told through this partner, but he said, you know, when I was on the control plots, when I'd go to pull that plant out of the ground, it would break at the, you know, at the base of the plant. When I'd get to the biocal plot, I would pull out the plant and the roots itself. And he was just absolutely like just floored by how cool that was, because just to see that in real time, to see those changes in surface compaction. So I heard that, and I johnnied up to call. I called Gunnar. I said, "Hey, we got to get over and do a scan." And so that's the one we went over, scan that field, and we're seeing 65% reduction in surface compaction on these fields. So control and treatment. So and we're seeing increases in moisture content and remediating kind of salinity issues. So it was just a really cool kind of story that had that tangible, you know, kind of unbiased, like this is just some soil technician out there and he's picking up these differences. And it's just so cool to kind of have that ground truth. So that's one of the most near term, at least on this product. You know, on some of our other products that were out there. I mean, guys are seeing, you know, having some really record yields. We just heard back from one of our groups in Montana with our Terranu and Biogel products out there. And we're looking to kind of get some BioCal up there and some orthoptic scans up there here this year. But, you know, they're getting a crop. Their neighbors are not. You know, that's a big deal, right? So, I mean, they're having, you know, in rain-fed areas where water is limited and you're doing everything you can with your spring and snow melts, they're having, you know, really good, you know, spring wheat crops versus, you know, a neighbor that potentially didn't use a product that or a solution here that it has no yield. So those are pretty cool stories that we're starting to kind of continue to feed into us kind of over and over again.
Awesome. Yeah. Love to hear it. You know, you mentioned just the kind of growing work that we Earth Optics are doing with you, Midwestern BioAg. Can you speak a little bit more towards, you know, this kind of growing partnership that we have? Because I am elated by it. I mean, you know, I've been speaking with you and with Brandon and, you know, some other folks on the team for a couple of years now, even before I was really on the sales team. And so I didn't even have this, you know, on my horizon at the time. But it's really been fun to see this partnership kind of grow. And I still think it's really just the beginning too.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we've just kind of been in that crawl, walk, run type of momentum. But, you know, again, it was like, I needed to understand cause and effect, right? Like, what are we going to be seeing with this platform? You know, I understood the technology. I understood what you were doing. And I knew that we could pick up the signal that we were seeing in the soil. So it was really about being able to take that and get some base learnings on it. And now we're going out to our dealer network. So we've got a number of, you know, like I mentioned, as a company, we have a retail business. We have five retail locations, but as we're transitioning and expanding outside of our landscape, we're looking for channel partners. We're looking for people that want to come and carry our products, want to work with our company. And we're seeing, you know, them gravitate towards the Earth Optics piece because one, it helps them, you know, from a compaction perspective, but also putting, you know, now that you guys have partnered with Pattern and have the nutrient scans and the, you know, True Bio, now we can, and you can mount that onto, you know, any sort of fertilizer equipment. Now we can cut the time and labor cost of actually going out there and collecting baseline data, because ultimately at the end of the day, the farmer has a limited time and money and resources to collect data. And they want to be data driven as much as possible. So the more that we can align our groups and provide them solutions to, you know, eliminate that kind of labor and that labor cost, it's a win-win. So now we've got a lot of our dealer networks that are out there that are getting set up with Earth Optics. They're getting the scanners put on, whether it's on their UTV or whatever. They're, you know, I kind of always had this, dream of being able to put it on a fertilizer spreader. I think we talked about that early on, was like, that was got us really excited. Like, how cool would that be out there to go out there as you're spreading, as you're out there doing a one pass in a field, you're also collecting soil data at the same time. And so I think we're still kind of working towards that vision. Just needed to find those right partners that can kind of go towards that. But currently, yeah, we're really expanding out to our dealer market and getting them, you know, tied into this this technology, because it's you know, it's again, it's where we can make changes, but you got to have a baseline. And so I can do it from a, you know, from a trial perspective. I can split fields and do cause and effect. But when we look at the larger farm landscape, you got to establish a baseline, and then you got to start to collect that data and take that data in and start to look at it changes over time to really understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited to be equipping, you know, a few dealers yet this year before, you know, what we always refer to as the harvest hustle kicks into full effect here in early October, mid-October. And that crawl, walk, run kind of analogy that you refer to and you're approaching with us, like, you know, I know I hear Britt, our VP of sales, and Gunnar say it all the time, but it's like Earth Optics, we provide kind of a sliding scale of services. So you want us to come and fully service your fields, you want to try it out, we could do that. You want to mount a ground owl on your rig and send your sampling crews out to collect the full, you know, suite of data, we can do that too. So it's exciting to see we're kind of taking that next step with some of your dealers.
Yeah, I'm really keenly interested in the volumetric moisture content, just from a selfish perspective, because I think water is everything. And so as we start looking at, you know, all of these different impacts and when we can start to storytell around that space of water, that, you know, that means everything, especially when we start moving into the high plains.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think it's an underappreciated measurement. A lot of folks don't, you know, we take it and it is what it is at a point in time on a field, but a lot of folks kind of forget about it unless it's missing. Because if it's missing, right, the data is no good. You got to have that component to really get an accurate lens on compaction.
Yeah. Chris, what other, you know, are there any kind of misconceptions are there any points that you just wish that you could really help every grower out there understand, whether it's, you know, aligned with anything Midwestern BioAg's doing or just kind of your own insights that you've learned throughout the years? Like what are kind of the big high level points that you're always just waking up and thinking of?
Yeah, I think, you know, the big one is compaction. You know, that's the foundation for everything, right? So you can have the best product in the world, but then if you don't have that baseline, your performance goes into that bucket of, well, it worked here, it doesn't work here. Well, the science behind soil compaction and managing soil compaction is, I mean, that was developed back in the 90s. And granted, it wasn't necessarily in the domestic kind of space. It was actually in European journals and a lot of Australian soil science on salinity and Sodex soils. But the foundational science and the tech and the understanding of the principles of how to manage soil dispersivity or compaction is there. It's really a matter of kind of communicating that. So I really think about, you know, one of the fundamental issues is just being, you know, for farmers and for anybody out there to really be, you know, to really kind of think, make sure to kind of think differently about how they approach data and how they approach science in general, because really it's just a different language. And one of the challenges that I see a lot in the farmer landscape is that, you know, I'm not smart enough to read that. I don't understand that. And then I get blinders up. And then you're working with trusted individuals that you're hoping that understand the science and can communicate that. But really, you know, again, it's just a different language. So we have so many different tools out there to understand these. And so get out there and read. Get out there and read scientific literature. If you don't know it, just read the abstract, read the intro, read the conclusion, skip all the methods and results. But there's so many things that you can do to understand this stuff and start to learn it. And once you start to learn, you know, oh, that means this, this means that, now I can connect the dots. And that's how I developed, just by getting in and going, you know, I'm just I love to read. And so I go in and I read scientific literature obsessively. And it help me learn the language. And once you unlearn the language, then you unlock the doors. And now all of a sudden, now you know how to ask questions differently. And now you can get answers differently. And you can find solutions. So I really want, you know, my main thing, you know, is out there that I see from, you know, from a farm landscape is for folks just to really kind of, science is there to communicate results. to communicate data, communicate results. The interpretation of science is the gap. So if you're not trusting and you're not out there and you don't, you know, maybe you don't believe that, you know, in the universities, you don't believe in the, some of the things that are coming out of here, you got to understand, like, that's not, they're just communicating results. The interpretation of it is on you. And so go out and read the articles, read the data, see what it says. And if you don't know it, I mean, use AI, use different tools that are out there to be able to kind of digest this stuff in a very common language. You know, you could take any research article, put it into AI and say, hey, give me the layman's summary on it. Give me the cliff notes. Like, there's so many different tools that are out there. And I think that's, you know, kind of going back to the beginning of this relationship with Earth Optics is about bridging those communication gaps. And we've got data, we've got innovations. Our challenge is communicating those innovations to the farmers. So I just really want to make sure that people feel that the information is approachable and the data is approachable. And it's really just a matter of kind of being able to be patient enough with it and being able to communicate and understand that the communication just takes a little bit of time to develop. And that's really, that can really open up a lot of doors and expand a lot of people's horizons in terms of what they can and can't do. And it opens doors for innovation and bringing innovative products on farm, because now you understand where you can place products, right? When you understand the basic principles of, you know, maybe the product placement isn't right on this field, right? You know, maybe I've got, you know, maybe this field doesn't have a compaction issue. Maybe this product, this field has another issue and I should be placing this product on this field. And again, it's all risk management. So how can I, I don't want to go out and spend money and not get an ROI on it. So I need to understand my baselines. I need to understand what that is. And you can have somebody else and pay somebody else to interpret that for you, or you can go out there and try to learn the stuff yourself. So baseline numbers, just don't be scared of data. Don't be scared of science. It's, it's a different way of communicating, but man, there's a wealth of knowledge out there that's just untapped and can really improve your productivity on farm.
Yeah, you got to dip your toe in first. You got to start somewhere, right? Yeah. Speaking of starting somewhere, I mean, what if someone's listening to you, Chris, and they're like, yeah, okay, I do. I'm ready. I want to learn more. Where do you suggest they start? Like, what's the first place they should go and where can they start to learn more?
Yeah, I mean, as we're Midwestern BioAgs, you know, as we're starting to kind of put more things out through our social media channels and, you know, online, things like that. But, you know, you always can just kind of reach out direct too. And, you know, go to events, go to conferences, talk to people. But yeah, you can absolutely find us online, find us on our YouTube, Facebook, all the social media channels. I'm not really my space, but, you know, we got a marketing team for that. So,
yeah, you guys have a fantastic website.
Yeah. We've done our marketing coordinator, and Kayla has done a wonderful job here in the last little bit, kind of getting us rebranded and all that stuff. So.
Yes, she has. Chris, before we wrap up here, is there anything that you were really hoping that we had brought up and we completely missed, or did we cover everything?
No, I think that's pretty good. I think from my side, the one piece that we haven't really talked about that I'm looking to learn more from working with you all is kind of on the bio piece of it. So I know I haven't shared this, the data that's come back yet, because I still haven't processed it yet, Gunnar, but we did run our true bio scans as well in our Western Iowa plot. So I'm really, you know, I'm starting to see some signals there, but that's another piece that when we start, you know, really understanding how we can leverage and utilize that metagenomic data, because that seems like that kind of went into that same space of what do I do with this information? And a lot of it's like, well, just get more of it and then you'll filter through. Well, that's cost and time and money. So I think we could be more prescriptive about that. And I'm starting to kind of see some things pick up early on with it. So I would like to hear more a little bit about what you all are doing in that space and how that's kind of developing, because that's a newer kind of partnership for you all.
Definitely. Well, so it sounds like we already got a part two of this Midwestern BioAg series lined up. We'll talk a little bit more about the biological insights. We'll save all that, kind of those nitty gritty details until then. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. This was a really fun conversation. Like Piper and I both said, we're super excited about kind of the growing partnership we have with you and the rest of the Midwestern BioAg team. You guys are doing some great things and excited to be working with you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again to all the listeners for joining us today. Please leave a positive review if you think this was a positive listen, or like or retweet or whatever else you can do on Spotify and Apple. And as always, stay grounded.